You, I don't like to follow the instructions. There's something about the adventure, right? The challenge of putting something together without referring to those infantile instructions. And because of that, I've had many startovers or do-overs. Many. I have learned a lesson in one area, though. How many of you ever ordered furniture from IKEA? I cannot unpack the box without instructions from IKEA. We've got two sofas from IKEA, and it's amazing how they it takes a packing engineer, I'm sure, to stuff all that stuff into this small little box. I'm like, there's no way this is a sofa. And sure enough, it is. It's just amazing. So I have learned it in one area to follow instructions. How about you? How many of you say, I'd rather just try it on my own without following? Come on, be honest. All right. How many of you say, I'm not even going to attempt it without getting those directions? Yeah, we're all different, right? I mean, some of you don't realize that instructions are for those who don't have time to waste. All right? Instructions are for those who don't mind starting over or getting it wrong or being embarrassed that you got it wrong the first time. Well, we're starting a new series today, like we said, called Starting Over. And the tagline or the subtitle is How to Make Sure Next Time is Better Than Your Last Time. Wouldn't that be great if we could learn in all areas of life how to do better the next time? In relationships, in our marriage relationship, those of us who have gone through a divorce and a remarriage, and a divorce and a remarriage, wouldn't it be nice next time, if next time was better than last time? Financially, professionally, some of us have changed careers by our own choice. Some of us have, it's been somebody else's choice. But wouldn't it be nice in any area where we're starting over, in school or whatever it is, that we can have a better time the next time than the first time we tried it? It doesn't matter whose fault it is, right? It could be my total fault that I got fired from my job, all right? It could be that I'm lazy, I didn't get my work done, and I got fired and I deserve it. Or it could be somebody else's fault. Somebody else started a rumor about me and everybody believed it. Next thing you know, I'm fired. That wasn't my fault. It doesn't matter whose fault it is. So let's get that off the table. We're not pointing blame at anybody today. It doesn't matter whose fault it is. You can have a better next time than your last time. I'm excited about this series mainly because I have seen many, many, many people in my 26 years of ministry get it wrong. And they repeat the same mistakes over and over again. And it breaks my heart. And I've sat with people and I've tried to counsel them and advise them. Don't you think this is bad timing? Shouldn't you wait a little longer? You just got out of that relationship. Why do you want to jump back into another one? And just over and over and over, take and over and over and over, they choose to do what they want to do, and they find that their next time was not any better than their last time. They repeat the same mistakes. Well, there's a few things we need to learn over the next 4 weeks, today and three more weeks, about starting over that I think can ensure that next time will be better than our last time. So here's a statement I think is true. We learn from our mistakes in areas that matter least. Games. I'll never do that again. I'll never make that move. I'll never go in that room without this weapon, you know, playing video games. I'll never do this. And you learn from silly things, even putting IKEA couches together. You learn from things that don't matter very much. Liz and I learned very early in our marriage that we should not be partners when we play Nerds. It's a card game. It's like group solitaire on speed. We're very competitive, both of us. And some of you were with us that night when we learned this valuable lesson. It shut down the whole night. Everything changed. We blew up. And we said, you know what? Never again will we be NERTS partners. And we haven't been since then. We choose someone else to be our partners. She still beats me every time, but... So it's in the small things, things that don't matter very much. We learn our lessons pretty quickly, but we repeat our mistakes in the areas that are most important. Isn't that weird? But this is human nature. We repeat the same mistakes in our finances. We're in debt. We have a spending problem. You know what? I'm going to change that. I'm going to do it different this time. And we end up doing the same thing again. Relationships, marriage, working with your kids, parenting your kids, disciplining your kids, work, whatever it is. It takes a lot to teach us the lessons that we need to learn. And we ended up asking this question, when will I ever learn? Have you asked that question of yourself? When, again, you've repeated the same mistakes again and again, and you're down, and you're going, when will I ever learn? Teenagers, especially in dating, you know what God calls us to do when it comes to purity, right? And I'm referring back to my own dating years here too. We know what it's like, what God wants us to be pure. We know that God wants our hands and our eyes to be pure, our bodies to be pure with our boyfriends and girlfriends. But how many times, and adults, you too, think back, right? How many times have you crossed that line in the dating and you went too far? And you felt guilty and you prayed to God, Lord, I'm sorry, I won't do that again, I won't do that again. What do? Next time you go further and you go further and you keep inching towards more and more sin. And I remember one time driving home from a date, and I was in college, and I was banging on the steering wheel, and I was banging on the dashboard, and I was praying, I don't want to be this way. I don't want to be this way. I want to be pure. I want to be completely pure. I don't want to be any question. Why can't I get it right? And I was angry with myself. Have you been there for maybe a different situation? When will I ever learn? And this is important here because of the pronoun. In that question, I. You realize that all your past stuff, there is one common denominator. And it's you, right? It's me. This is important. Life is painful enough, right? If you made all the right choices every time, you would still have trouble and you would still have pain. Why in the world do we add to a painful life? By the mistakes and the choices that we made. Now, beginning next week, I'm going to give you three things that I think, if we learn, they will make our first time, next time better than our last time. I'm not going to get into that too much today. Today, I'm going to talk about three myths, three assumptions, the kind of subconscious things that we just think that are all false. And I think hopefully this will open up our eyes. This is nothing new. I'm going to put some things up here and you're not going to go, oh, wow, I never thought of that. No, you're going to say, well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. But sometimes it takes somebody to uncover those unspoken assumptions so we can have our eyes open. So the first one is the experience myth. What the experience myth says is that experience makes me wiser. This is false. Experience alone does not guarantee that we're going to be wiser. It'll guarantee that we'll be older, that we'll be poorer, that we'll be more tired or lonelier, but it does not guarantee that we're going to be wiser. Experience does not make us wiser in and of itself. We tend to think, you know what? I went through a bad experience. Now I know what I'm doing. I've been through the school of hard knocks. And because of the school of hard knocks, it has taught me to be wiser. You know what? It ain't necessarily so. Experience alone does not bring wisdom to us, right? Nor do they make us prepared for the next chapter in our life. But experience doesn't make you wiser. What does make you wiser? Evaluated experience. So when you go through something, if you stop, push pause, wait, and spend time reflecting, what happened to me? Why did that happen? And sometimes this takes a long time. Evaluated experience is one of the things that's going to make a big difference in our lives. You know this is true. You've seen it in other people. Because you've seen other people, and I'm talking about you, right? Other people make the same mistakes over and over and over again. And their experience did not make them wiser. I'm sure we're talking about other people and not us, right? You know about this. Here's another myth. It's the know better myth. It says, since I know better, I will do better. Does this work, parents? You teach your kids right and wrong, right, Lucas? Your mom, dad teaches you right and wrong, right? You know the difference. Your mom teaches you, right, Michael? The difference between right and wrong? Yeah. Does that mean that every time, Michael, that you're going to do better? It doesn't. He's honest. It doesn't mean it. Knowledge, knowing better, doesn't mean we're going to do better. And yet we tend to think it does, right? That's why parents say over and over, they give us instruction. Teenagers hate this. Teenagers really don't like it when parents repeat themselves over and over and over. And you guys say, I know, you've told me 1,000 times, I know, but your parents know, that doesn't mean you're going to do better. And you've proven it, haven't you? And we all have proved it, that knowledge doesn't make us automatically do better. Knowing better does not equal do better. Say that. Know better does not equal do better. Kids and parents know this. I know this from personal experience. And I have proof right here on my left hand with these two fingers. If you can't see it, I'm missing the tips of these two fingers from a table saw accident. You know what? I knew better. I knew better than to take a small piece. I just needed one more cut to finish my project. I knew better. I needed to use a push stick. I knew better. That piece was too small to cut on a table saw. I knew better. And I was out there in the carport working on it, and Liz was getting ready to go to work, and she said to me, don't cut your hand off. And you know what I said? I know what I'm doing. And she left. It was not 10 minutes later, I had to call her and say, I'm on my way to the emergency room. I cut my fingers off. And she's like, no, you. I said, yep, I did. But I told you. I know. But you know what? Knowing better doesn't mean we're going to do better. Know better doesn't equal that I'll have the ability to do better. It doesn't mean because you know what's right and wrong, you know the better choice, it doesn't mean you're going to automatically have the power, the self-control, or the ability to do better. That's a false assumption. Knowing better, having these experiences, these do not guarantee. Unless you have evaluated experiences and you make some deep personal changes. This is why your current relationship, current bad relationship, reflects your past bad relationship and will reflect your next bad relationship. Because we haven't evaluated our experiences and we haven't made deep personal changes. You're the common denominator here. You know what? When it comes to dating, you're a bad picker. You pick bad people to date. Or the people pick you and you don't know how to say no. We need to take some time. We need to push pause. I remember one teenager, I'm not going to say her name. She was in our youth group several years ago. And she was the biggest flirt, dating here and dating there. Next boyfriend this week. And they're like, who? Who's he talking about? Who's he talking about? Who? And I just pulled her aside. I said, I challenge you. I mean, I just see you bouncing from boyfriend to boyfriend. Why? You don't need that. Is this good for you? Is this healthy? And I said, I think you should just push pause. Stop dating for a while. And for once, somebody listened to me. She went 18 months without dating anybody. And it was one of the best things for her, one of the most healthy things for her. Knowing better doesn't mean you're going to do better or have the ability to do better. We keep thinking, what's wrong with all these people I'm dating? The answer is you. What's wrong with this husband? How come it's no better than last time? The answer is you. You pick him. Why am I back in debt? It's your fault. It's not always your fault. Remember what it said? We're not talking about blame. Sometimes it is somebody else's fault. Somebody else is to blame. That is true. But a lot of times it still goes back to us and our original choices. We made the wrong career choice. That means it's sinful or anything like that. We find ourselves in the wrong career. We need to change careers. Okay, knowing better does not mean the ability and power and self-control to do better. We must understand this and ask this question. Now that I know better, now that I've had these experiences, what must I do before next time to ensure that next time is not like last time? Here's a third myth, the time myth. The time myth says, time is against me. Help me out here. The clock is ticking, okay? The clock is ticking. Time's a wasting, right? I'm not getting any younger. And I love this one, and I'm going to talk about this. I'm not a spring chicken anymore. And I said this from right here when we had a couple ladies who were pregnant and they were not spring chickens. And I said, you know, we need to be praying for them because they're not spring chickens anymore. And everybody laughed. And Mary says, I know you're talking about me. And I can't believe when Liz and I announced that we were pregnant that nobody said anything about me and she not being spring chickens. You love me. I'm not a summer chicken. I'm not a fall chicken. I think I'm a winter chicken. We think time is against me. All the other people my age have already, you fill in the blank. All my friends are blank, blank, blank. All my friends have already blank, blank, blank. Time is against me. I need to get moving. I need to get going. I need to jump back in the game. I've learned my lesson. I've had the experience. I know better. It's time to jump in, get back in there to the dating game. It's time to just forget the grieving process, right? Let's get on with life. And we tend to skip ahead and rush things because we feel like time is against me. This is not true. This is not true at all. Time is your friend. Time is not your enemy. Time is your friend. Time is what we need when we've had a bad experience, when we need to start over. We need some time. My personal advice to people who go through a divorce and have kids, and this is me personally, okay? I advise them, focus on your children. Do not date until your kids are grown. You think people want to hear that advice? They don't want to hear that. But it's because they need time. How many people have you known who've gotten divorced, and before you know it, they surprise you and they're married again? And how many times have that marriage lasted? I can think of a couple of people who divorced, they didn't take the time, they rushed, time is against me, they found somebody, they got married, and it wasn't a month, two, three, 6 months later, a year, they're divorced again. Time is our friend. Time is our friend. But we feel the opposite. We feel that time is passing us by. And here's why, okay? Here's the reason why. Because when you go through a difficult time, it throws you out of balance. There's some things out of whack, and you may not even realize what's going on, but it's there. You may be still carrying baggage, maybe jealousy or guilt or resentment, insecurity, lack of faith, all these things and more are there underneath the ground cover, and you're not even aware, and we need to wait. We're out of balance. It throws everything out of whack. Emotions are like temperatures. My physical and your physical body temperature, when we're sick, goes pew, right? It shoots up to 100, 102, 103, whatever it is. But a lot of times, that same temperature takes a lot longer to come down. And when our emotions are high, we're out of balance. And we're not healthy. And we need to take the time to get ourselves healthy. When we're in pain, we are self-absorbed. That's natural, right? When I did this to my fingers, I was very self-absorbed, making sure I wrapped them up and I tried to stop the bleeding. I got her out of the emergency room. I was focused on nothing else, and that's normal. Anytime you get hurt physically, it's the same. You are self-absorbed because of the pain in your life. It is no different when it comes to emotional pain. We just don't realize it. When we are unhealthy emotionally and we are struggling with some things, we just move on to the next thing. Instead of taking time to get our lives, get our temperature back down, to get back in balance. Self-absorbed people, listen to this, self-absorbed people make self-absorbed decisions. Do you agree? Self-absorbed people make self-absorbed decisions. And when you're healthy, when you take the time to get healthy and get back in balance, you have clarity. And when you have clarity, you make better decisions. Time is your friend, not your enemy. And if you take the time to heal, then you will be able to hear things later that you can't hear right now. Maybe that's probably the main reason why in counseling and I'm giving advice to people, they don't hear me. All right? They can't hear me because they're out of balance emotionally. Their lives are out of whack. They may not even realize it, but they're out of balance. Their emotional temperature is too high. They can't hear what we're trying to say to them right now. But if they take the time, because time is our friend, then they will be able to hear later what they cannot hear now. And you will be able to hear from people later you can't hear from now. You know this is true, especially if there's something between the two people, right? There's some animosity or something going on there. You don't even talk to each other. When you do, you don't listen to each other. Well, healing time, evaluated experience, making deep personal change during this time, you'll be able to hear from each other and listen to each other. time is our friend, not our enemy. But Barry, if I could come up there and grab this microphone and tell my story, you would all realize that it's different. You would all realize that I need to move on, and I need to do it now. Wrong answer. Not if you've come out of a bad experience and you're not emotionally healthy. No, we need to take time. It takes time to heal. It takes time to work on self and face reality of our weaknesses. Now I was thinking about the Bible, you know, and what Bible characters fit these things. And there are several, a bunch of Bible characters who had a first round and then a gap of time and a better second round. Think about David, all right? David was anointed king, and he moved into the house of Saul. Saul got jealous, tried to kill him. David runs. And for a gap of 8 to 12 years, David is not in the palace. He's running from Saul, and he takes time. He evaluates. He has a chance to kill Saul during that time, and he chooses not to do it because he's emotionally healthy at this point. He's in balance. He has clarity. And then after 8 to 12 years, he comes back, and he is the king of Israel. I think of Abraham. At 75 years old, God tells Abraham, I'm going to give you a son and many, many, many descendants. Round one. All right, we're going to get pregnant. Here we go. 25 years later, Sarah gets pregnant. 25-year gap between round one and round two. I think about Moses. Moses was raised in Pharaoh's house as royalty, as Pharaoh's son. He enjoyed all the riches and all the privileges of being in the Pharaoh's family. And 40 years old, he starts feeling, my people, my Hebrews are slaves. Somebody needs to do something. And he sees a soldier or an Egyptian mistreating Hebrew slaves. And what does he do? He kills him. He kills him, and then he has to go running away, right? He has to go hiding out in the wilderness. Moses is hiding in the wilderness, staying away from Egypt for 40 years. 40. Round one, I kill an Egyptian. If he went back during any time earlier than 40 years before Pharaoh died, he would have been killed or he would have been thrown in prison. But he said, I'm not going back. So for 40 years, God had time to work on Moses, to prepare him for the greatest leadership challenge in the whole Bible. And after 40 years, God finally speaks to him. Look at this scripture in Exodus 2. During that long period, the king of Egypt died, or Pharaoh. Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of the slavery went up to God, and God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. But the key phrase is right there. During that long period, 40 years. It was then, after 40 years, that God spoke to Moses through the burning bush. Most of us know that story. And called him to his greatest purpose, to be the savior of Israel, to bring them back. Another guy I think about is Paul. Paul definitely had a first round and the second round with a gap in between. As you know, Paul used to be called Saul before he was a Christian, and his main job was to persecute Christians, to throw them in jail, to oversee their killings. He was notorious in Jerusalem for persecuting Christians. Jesus met him in a miraculous, supernatural way, and Paul surrendered his life to Jesus, was baptized, and dedicated his life to God. But you know what? When Paul went back to Jerusalem, nobody trusted him. That's the guy who was killing us and putting us in jail. And now he claims to be one of us. Oh, no, no, no. This is not. They tried to kill him. So Paul went away. He went away for 14 years. It was 14 years later, so we have round one. Didn't go so well, right? 14 years gap. Round two, Paul goes back to Jerusalem. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, is accepted by the leadership in Jerusalem. He is pretty much anointed the guy who's going to go to the Gentiles, the whole Gentile world. And he goes, and he's the guy who planted churches all around that Mediterranean rim. He's the guy who reached to the Gentiles and spread the word. He's the guy who wrote more than half the New Testament. His second time was a lot better than his first time. Let's look at this verse from Romans 8:28. This is Paul writing, and he says, you know what? We know that in all things. Now, all things here means all things. In all circumstances, in all situations, no matter what's going on, no matter whose fault it is, in all things, God works. God wants to do something no matter what you've been through. No matter your bad experience, no matter your repeated patterns, no matter what it is, God wants and is working in that if you let him. What does he do? He works for the good of those who love him. Now this means those people who have said, I surrender to you, Jesus. My life is now your life. You are the boss of me. You are my king. I surrender my will. I want your will more than my will. This is the people who love him who he's talking about. So in all these things, God works for those for the good of those kind of people who have been called according to his purpose. God wants to bring purpose to your all things. His purpose. And it doesn't matter what it was or what you've been through or the mistakes you've made or who's done what to you. All things, in all things, God works. If you love God and you're surrendered to Jesus, he wants to bring purpose to all your stuff. Financially, relationally, academically, professionally, dating, parenting, whatever it is. God wants to use your past, use all things. And he wants to work, and he wants to give you purpose. And this is good news. Now, the next 3 weeks, I'm going to encourage us to slow down, to push pause, and ask ourselves, what can we do different this time so that our next time is better than our last time? Next time can be better than last time. Would you say that with me? Next time can be better than last time. Do you believe it? Yes. Do you believe it? Next time can be better than last time, but not because you want it to be. That's not enough. Because we all want it to be better, right? How often does that work? Not because you want it to be, but because you plan for it to be. Proactive. Going after it. So, challenge today is realize that these myths are operating in my life. Knowing better does not equal doing better. My experience does not necessarily make me wiser. And time is my friend, not my enemy. And we're going to learn that God can use any situation, and he wants to use every situation to make next time better. I want you to believe and be encouraged that God has a better future for everyone in this room. God has a better, would you say this? God has a better future for me. Turn to someone and say, God has a better future for you. It is true. It is so true. I hope you'll journey with us these next 3 more weeks as we look into this topic, as we analyze and see if we can evaluate and help each other so that our next time is better than last time. Father, thank you so much for this time that you've given us to look in your word, to consider what is true about your word. Even though we didn't look at a lot of scriptures today, we looked at just a few. We know these things to be from you and to be truthful because we've seen it in our own lives and the people around us. So Father, we thank you for the promise that you will work for our good, for the good of us that love you in all things. We want to turn all our things over to you, Lord, and surrender. We want you to create in us a clean heart and restore your spirit to us. Restore your joy of our salvation back to us. And we pray this through Christ's name. Amen. If you'll stand, we're going to have a song, and I'll be in the back if anybody would like to come and pray together or talk.